Good morning, ladies. We're privileged to have June with us this morning. And as most of you know, she literally lived out 1 Peter 3:1. And I think it would be an encouragement to each of our faith to hear her story. Because we know the word is powerful, but it's exciting when you see it working as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for the privilege of being your daughters and for the privilege of having your word. And it's so encouraging to our own personal faith when we see it lived out by other people. And in a special way, be with June this morning as she shares with us and give her a calmness and a quietness and also a boldness to share how you have worked in her life. Mm-hmm. And we're faithful. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
There may be an opportunity at the end to ask questions. We'll see how it goes. Bless you, lady.
Okay. Do this first. Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here this morning. I was trying to remember with Anita this morning, when was the last time we were here, and I think it might have been 12, 13, or 14, something like that, 2012, 13, or 14, but it's been a long time, so it's good to be back. And it's a huge blessing to share with you what God did in my life, because it had nothing to do with me and all to do with him. And I don't say that as a cliche statement. I say it because it's absolutely true. I want to give you a little bit of background of my life before I get into that part of it. I was born to a single mom, and my dad was a married man with six children already, and he already had three children with two other ladies before I was born. I was the last of all his children. So coming into that setting, it was, you know, I grew up with a single mom for most of my life. When I was 8 or 9, she began a relationship with a man who became my stepfather and who remained in my life until I left home to get married at 17, almost 18, I like to tell my children. So, yeah, they remind me all the time when they get to be 18. Mom, I'm getting married this year. Nope. So that gives you a little bit of background in the sense that you understand that I came from a family on both sides. There was adultery and fornication. So you would understand a little later on how that affected me and my life. I grew up Catholic. My mom was Catholic, but because of her situation, she did not go to church. She was not allowed to take communion since she wasn't married and had children. So I grew up Catholic, and it is there, though, that I found a desire to know God more deeply, especially in my secondary school where we had chapel every morning, and each class had a chance to do chapel. And from that, my deep desire to know God in a deeper way began. And but the church was unable to satisfy that desire in me. And so when I was like 16, I stopped going. I met Daniel in high school, my last year of high school. But because of the lack of a relationship with my father, he was a pharmacist and owned his own pharmacy, and he supported me monthly, but I went to the pharmacy to get my support. So I slipped him a note, and he slipped me my support, and that's the only relationship I had with him for many, many years. And so knowing that and watching my mom's relationship with men, I decided that I would be a very independent woman, and I will not depend on a man. And I didn't realize that for me also included God. Because God is a man, right? So when I met Daniel in high school, my final year of high school, my mom was a little bit concerned that I mightn't pass my exams and this and that. And I was like, no, I intend to be independent. I intend to work. I intend to make my own money. So I graduated. Just before I graduated high school, somehow he disappeared from my life. And our relationship didn't continue until later that year, in October, we met again, and the relationship started again. So I was 17 when I graduated school, And Daniel and I started our relationship that fall. And then we got married the following year in May because I was pregnant. And we got married and began our married life. But soon, I would say, my first daughter died when she was 6 months. And after that, about our second year of marriage, we began drifting apart. He liked to hang out with his friends, and I was more a home person, and so we just began drifting apart. I worked, and the place I worked at, one of the ladies there was a Christian, and I was very attracted to what I saw in her. And I told her that I wanted to talk to her about being a Christian. To make the story shorter, she invited me to church. I accepted Christ, and I started living for the Lord. But because I worked, and we lived in Trinidad at the time, I became a Sunday Christian. I went to church on Sunday. I read my Bible. It was a very strong church. We had a very good teaching. But I feel like I didn't spend enough time in the Word. In 1988, both of us visited New York, and he always wanted to move abroad. And so the economy in the country was very difficult at that time, and we decided that we would move. He stayed in New York, and I went back home to get things ready, to get the children ready, because by then we had three children. And I also discovered that I was pregnant with our fourth. So I went home to get things ready to come back up. So I did that, and I came to New York in March of 1989, and I had my son in April of 1989. But I came back up really heavy at heart because our relationship was even worse at that time. And I didn't know if I should really stay with him or stay in New York. And I asked the Lord, what should I do? And I wrote to my pastor in Trinidad and asked him for his advice. His letter came months later, but in the meantime, the Lord answered me and said, your place is with your husband, so stay there. And he gave me a verse that said, I will perfect that which concerneth you. So I decided to stay with him and to stay in New York. What God did for me in New York was, I was the head of personnel for the company I worked for. So it was an important job to me, and they made me feel important to them. I came to New York, and I was stripped of everything. I had no job. I came with my maternity clothes, mostly. I had the things that made me feel important, and I guess that built up my image, was totally taken from me. I had no friends. My mom was very close to me, and I had a friend that I can call at the drop of a hat. She'd be there. All that was gone. It was me and God alone, and that's what he wanted. Because what God did is he got my attention, and I began to have daily times in the Word and spending time with him and hearing from him. And so God began to talk to me. And it was interesting because here I was, a Christian, for 7 years. And I would share the Word with Daniel. And different times he would come to me and say, pray for me, or this has happened, or that has happened, and I need you to pray for me. But he really rejected the Word when I shared it with him. So God began to talk to me and to show me that my heart was not right where my relationship with Daniel was concerned. And at first I was flabbergasted. I was like, me, the saved one? I'm the good person. What are you talking about? And he said, no, your heart is not right. Your heart is not submitted. And so I can't work in Daniel's life if you are in this place. So I began to search the Word more and to really seek the Lord and to submit to God's authority. And I want you to know this. If nothing else you hear today is this. Whether you're in a relationship where your husband is unsaved or he's difficult, or whether you're single or whatever. Nothing can happen in our lives of deep significance unless we are submitted to God. I say it again. Unless we as women submit to God first, we can't live a life that will love a husband that is not submitted to God, or children, or friends, or anybody. It just doesn't work. So first of all, I had to get to a place where I was submitted to God. So God worked in my heart and brought me to realize that I had not submitted to him. And that went back to the fact when I made that vow years before that I will not allow a man to have that authority over me, that I would be an independent woman. So I had taken God out of that equation as well. So when I got submitted to God, when I began to really seek his face and to allow him to work in my heart, that's when my heart towards Daniel changed. Before, I blamed him for the difficulties we were having in America. I blamed him for the difficulties we had in Trinidad. I was just annoyed at him and his whole attitude and the way he lived life and the things he did. It was not a good place to be. But when God got a hold of me and my heart, and I submitted that to him, it's like things changed. And God said, your enemy is not your husband. Your enemy is the devil. And that's where your focus should be. So then my heart changed. And I began to see Daniel as a person who needed Christ, but not for me to preach to him, but for me to love him as Christ loved him. And that, too, you can only do if you submitted to God and you believe in his word and you trust him. You know, the scripture talks about that we are to submit to our own husbands, to obey them, that they be one with all the word by the life we live, while they behold our way of life coupled with fear. Fear of who? It's not fear of man, it's not fear of the person, but honor and reverence for God. That's the kind of fear they're talking about. And so when I was able to do that, my whole, like I said, the way in which I viewed him changed. I began to see him as a lost person that I should love and pray for. And God led me to fast and pray. My daughters were 11, 5, and 4. And the 4-year-old read the Bible for herself. So we got together and we would pray and read the Bible. And we would pray for their dad every evening. And then the Lord also led me to the church in New York, because at first when I moved to New York, I wasn't going to church for more than a year because I was scared to choose a church because of the number of problems with Jim Jones and all these other people. Anyway, the Lord led me to Followers of Jesus Church. And there I met other women who supported me in this quest of living a life of submission and loving my husband and my children. And there were also two other women there. One was from Africa and one was from Jamaica. And they, too, had unsaved husbands. So we got together every Wednesday and prayed for our unsaved husbands and our children. And as the days went by, you know, he would come home and he worked driving taxi. So he would be home during the day sleeping, and then in the evenings he would leave to go to work. And I remember the Lord leading me to stand by the window and watch him as he walked towards the road to go to get to his job. And I would pray over him as he went. And then on weekends when he wanted to go to parties and whatever, even though it was so hard for me to see him make those choices, the Lord led me to get his clothes ready, to get things ready for him. But when he would leave, I would again stand by that window and watch him and pray that he will have a miserable time, that he would lose the love for that kind of life, that he will allow God to work in his heart. So that happened. I started attending Followers of Jesus in September of 90. And the ladies and I began meeting to pray soon after that. And we continued praying for several months for our husbands. And then in March of 91, on the Tuesday night, Pastor Allen and two other people went out to do evangelism work. It was cold night. It was snowy. And they went to my friend, Saitia, her husband's home. He went to their home, and they witnessed to her husband, and he received Christ. And so she called me the next morning, and we cried like fools over the phone and rejoiced. And then the Thursday night, they did the same thing. And Daniel was working, he was working driving taxi, but he was also going to school in Manhattan doing dry cleaning. He was going to school to learn how to do dry cleaning. And that night he decided he didn't want to go to school because the weather was so bad. And I tried to persuade him that it was important for him to go because he could only miss 2 days and so on and so on. And he decided he wasn't going. And that night Alan and them came to our house as well. And they witnessed to him. And he submitted his life to Christ. But I had no idea that what I had prayed and what the Lord had led me to do had any impact on that for sure. Because the Thursday before, the week before Alan came, he and his friend were sitting on the steps. We lived on the second floor. And I passed, and they were talking some kind of foolishness. And I said, "What of you just need to be saved?" And he said, "Saved? Saved from what? I'm not drowning." So I thought for sure, there was no way this man will submit his life to Christ the very next week. But he did. And that was in March. And September that year, we went to visit some friends. Maybe you might know them, Ray and Rhoda Winger. They were in New York City at the church when I first started attending. And they had moved to Pennsylvania and invited us to come out to see them, to spend time with them. We went there, and Ray asked Daniel to give a testimony that Sunday in his church. And that was the first time I heard that God had answered my prayer exactly how I prayed it. Because Daniel, part of the testimony he gave, he said, "When I would go to parties, I would go in, I would buy my liquor, I would get the table, I would set up stuff, my friends would be around me, and then all of a sudden I'd be there and I would lose interest in the party. I would hate being there. I would leave and I would go outside, and eventually I'll take a taxi and come back home." Exactly what I prayed God answered. Our faithfulness to an unsaved husband, our faithfulness to difficulties in our lives, could only come as we have that hope in God that leads, and as we realize that He's a sovereign God. He is in control, no matter how things look. And we could apply that even to today's issue with COVID and all the other things that are happening. He is sovereign. He is in charge. He is powerful. If we have that hope in Him that it talks about here, I wish I had more time to go through the other verses here in 1 Peter, because verse 5 and 6 gives a little bit more insight in it. As we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and we build up ourselves in the holy faith and we have that hope that no matter what happens, He is there with us and He's capable, we can live without that fear. Fear is a huge thing for us as women. We fear and then we want to take control. It happened in the garden, right? Then we want to be in control, because then we could control what happens and we think it will be easier and better. But it doesn't work that way, because that's not how He planned it. Because in the first place, especially in a marriage, it is to reflect Christ and the church. And just as how Jesus submitted to God, we are to submit to Christ and reflect that Christ and the church. So He builds us up. He gives us the confidence so that we don't walk in fear, and then we can trust Him with the most difficult situations in our lives. And that is what God was able to do for me. and how he was able to use me. And hopefully by this you understand, it didn't have so much to do with me as a person that Daniel came to Christ, but how much to do with what God did in my heart and what he saw. Because that's one of the things he said in his testimony that Sunday too. I wanted so badly what I saw my wife was enjoying with Christ, but I didn't want to submit. And then Alan came and asked him that question. And because he saw it, and because he wanted it so badly, he decided it was time for him to give his life to Christ. But it took a lot of prayer, too. Because God led me to fast and pray to tear down certain strongholds in his life. He is half Indian. He lived in an Indian household where there was Hinduism. His father was part, his father's uncles were part of a voodoo kind of religion back in the islands that we came from. So he had these two very tough and difficult spiritual influences in his life as well. But God led me to fast and pray, to tear down some of those strongholds. And he will lead us to do all those things as we submit to him and allow him to lead us in our lives. I didn't even look at my notes. Well, may God be praised. And I don't know if you have any questions that you would like to ask. But I give God praise for the... We've been married 45 years in May this year, and I want you to know I'm still learning submission in some ways. I am not perfect at all. There are days when, like most people or most women, I would just like to take control of some things and tell them right where it's at. But God keeps working on my heart and keeps me in line. Do you have any questions? Oh, yes. I was saved 7 years before he came to Christ. It was a difficult time because when you live together with somebody who's not saved, who's not on the same page with you, there are certain things like you would want to do for your children. Like for years, I wanted to get rid of the television, but he was not in a place to be ready to do that. Or for years, there were certain toys or certain things that the children would do that I didn't feel it was the way that it should be. But of course, he was not on the same page. So it was difficult going through those years, not being, you know, like the scripture says, not being at the same level in walking with the Lord with somebody at home. It makes it really hard to have a household that is following God in the same way when both of you are thinking different things and want to see different things happen with the children. My youngest son would have been one when he came to Christ. Yeah. So he has not known any, he doesn't know his dad differently. The girls saw the difference with him becoming the leader in the home. And I think that was really important for them. Because, you know, especially with girls, having to submit to a husband, it was important for them to see their dad take the leadership role. Because after he became saved, he started doing, I told him, I said, I'm not leading the Bible studies with the children anymore. You know, like I said, I used to meet with them in the evenings. We would study the word. We would pray for their dad. Well, I decided that's not my place anymore. So then he had to do it. But then they would look to me and ask me questions. So, Mom, what does this mean? Or what does this mean? And I would say, well, you have to ask your dad now. So I think that helped them to see him come in and be the leader, not just in providing the funds for the home, but in leading them in following the Lord as well. So it made a huge difference in our lives. Carolyn, Alan's wife, and the two other ladies that prayed with me because their husbands were unsaved, They walked alongside me, encouraged me, was there with me when things were difficult, you know, to cry and pray together. One huge thing is that he wanted to move from New York to New Jersey, and I felt that the Lord really wasn't calling us to do that. And so what they did is come alongside me, and whereas they felt, well, maybe that is true, but encouraged me to submit to that anyway and prayed with me about it, that going there, knowing even though I felt like that shouldn't happen, but if I would submit to that plan and allow God to lead me and to move in my life so that Daniel feels that I would go even though I told him I don't think that's what God is calling us to do, that helped with the whole situation. You know, that still gave him, even when we got there and he too realized we shouldn't be there, he was able to see that it was true, but that I still went along with him and allowed him to go. So it did something in his heart as well. But those ladies walked alongside with me and really encouraged me and was there for support. Even when I moved to New Jersey, you know, Carolyn came out there to visit too. Yeah. Well, you know, over the years, that has happened for me from time to time. You know, you don't just get over and you get immune to that. Even with this COVID thing, you know, you have the fear of, well, should I do this or should I let, you know, the control. I will tell you straight up, I am here based on allowing my fears to be released to the Lord and to trust my husband again. I'm not here because this would have been my choice either. The answer for that always is to go to the Lord and say, this is where I'm at. I am fearful again, or I am fearful. I don't understand all of this. I don't know what to do. Help me. And to stay in the Word. I knew this, and another sister from New York helped us again with that. Sometimes you have to be in the Word all day, three times a day, or how often it takes. Because sometimes in the morning I pray and I give it to the Lord, and by midday I'm losing my mind. So I go back again in the Word. And he will give you a rhema word for the situation that you could write somewhere or keep memorizing your mind to keep repeating to yourself. And then in the evening, it might be going crazy again. You go back to that word. You spend time in prayer. And I know for mothers with young children, that's sometimes hard to do, right? To be in the Word that often. But guess what? You could write it on your wall somewhere where you can see it as you walk while you're nursing the baby or you dealing with the children or whatever. You could be looking at that word or repeating it in your mind or just have it there. We don't have to. I think sometimes we think we have to have this time where we sit somewhere and it's quiet and for us to connect with God. Practice his presence throughout the day, because especially as women, we're not going to just have that one big block of time to spend in the Word or with him. But we have to when we go in the bathroom sometimes. Sometimes they leave us alone, but sometimes they come there too. But sticking in the Word, though. The Word is what changes us. The Word. And, you know, as Christians, we are not in the Word often enough. We're just not. It gives me a deep understanding of what it's like to be in difficult situations like that, to love in the midst of not receiving love back the way you feel you should get it back. Because, of course, when he lived out in the world, his focus was not me. So it gives me an understanding for women that go through those similar situations. And so what happens a lot is that when women realize, looking at us now, it's hard for most people to think that that's how it was. But when people realize that that's what I went through. Then they come to me to ask questions, and then I'm able to minister to them and to share from my experience. You know what the scripture says? That God comforts us so that we could comfort others. And so I see that being real in my life, because then God gives me opportunity to comfort others the way I've been comforted by him in that situation. And it also impacted us in that, you know, since Daniel and I both come from single-parent homes, and those situations, you know, with the background of adultery and fornication and so on, God gave us a deep heart and desire for marriages and for families. And that's what our ministry is now. We do marriage retreats on a regular basis, and we have a ministry in, since we moved from New York to Columbus, Ohio, we have a ministry 40 minutes from our house that is called Family and Marriage Ministry. It's a house where people can go, families can go, and enjoy times together. And we have small marriage retreats there. It's also available for counseling for difficulties in families and marriages. Well, first of all, the brokenness with leaving Trinidad and coming to, you know, put it this way, God took me away from all my comforts. And so he drew me into a wilderness experience. And in the wilderness, I began to cry out to God. And the more I cried out to God, the more I spent in the Word, he began exposing my heart to me. So that's what happened that made me realize I wasn't a good person. I thought I was, because I was saved for 7 years and going to church and all that stuff. He was able to reveal my heart. You know, the Word does that, right? It's like a mirror. It reveals our hearts. So he took me to that place. So wilderness experiences are not bad, ladies. Wilderness experiences are a good thing. Sadly, when we're in the most difficult situations, that's when we seek God even more intensely, right? So at that time, God led me to do that. And then as the years went by with the children, and we lived 7 years in New Jersey, we spent a lot of time as a family even, fasting and praying. We did Daniel fast for the children, where we would fast like desserts and seconds and meat and that kind of stuff. Then when we moved back to New York, we got so involved in ministry there that we slacked off of that for a bit. Then we got back into it. I think it is a good thing to, as a family or even as a couple, to set aside those times for fasting and prayer. I don't do it as regularly as I did it years ago, but it is important for us to even include our children in it, and it is important for us as individuals and as a couple. So you can have fasting times as a woman by yourself, but as a couple, it's good to do it from time to time. It doesn't have to be necessarily for, if you have a good relationship, it doesn't have to be for that. It could be for whatever God placed on your heart. There might be other situations in your family life or in your church or for your pastor and his wife. Let me tell you something. I'm going to plug in something. Margaret didn't ask me to do this, but the pastor's wives here, they need your prayer. And sometimes even your fasting and prayer. So those are different things that we can do. And I think it's a good discipline to have in our lives. But it's one of those things that we have put away as Christians. And we have not kept it in the importance that it has in our lives. And it's not to change God's heart. It's to work on our hearts. That's what it's for. I'm laughing at my husband. He's in the back there. Yeah, but keep those disciplines in your life. Life has become busy, and we've had so many things that distract us. That would be the right word. And the most important things are not the most important things anymore. So we need to get back to that. But you are dismissed. Thank you.